Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 24 of The Island Green. Nice to be back.
We're boys. Back.
Well, nice to be back.
The trio is back.
I think it's probably about 2 3/4 because I had my second dose of the vaccine.
It might be 2/3 to be honest.
Yeah, you're not in good trim either after a little trip to Cabot, but oh man, this knocked me
Don't worry.
Ass.
I'll bring up the slack.
Yeah, you're fresh as a daisy over there.
Yeah. When you say knocked you on your ass, do you just the next day? So you got it yesterday,
yeah,
correct?
Okay. Yeah. So again, second dose. First dose, no problem. Thought this is a joke. Everybody's complaining. It's just ridiculous. Got it yesterday at 10:20. Arm was sore, whatever. Played a match. It wasn't played golf. No big deal or whatever. Didn't sleep a wink last night. Hot, cold.
Yeah, I was going to ask what the symptoms are.
Oh, it felt like the worst flu ever. And I'm not a guy that I'm lucky. I don't get sick often. But anyway, it affects everybody differently. But yeah, it knocked me on my ass. So, of course, wake up and I'm still sore. Like, just anyway, I mean, it's definitely worth it. Going to head to the States and all the rest of her in a few weeks.
Double vax.
Now I am double vaccinated.
Same thing. I got it last week, and the day after I didn't feel anything, and even 2 days after I didn't. But then the third day, same thing. Like the sweats, like
really third day.
Yep, aching. Like
kind of like a delayed fuse there.
I know,
man. I'm worried now. Like cause big. You got the Eagles Glen tournament on Friday. We got a couple. Got the Belvedere Club Championship this weekend.
You're playing in the Eagles Glen, the single day event there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I registered for that. I go see what it's all about. I like Eagles Glen too. So
I love Eagles.
I wonder how many players they got.
It's not a crazy big field.
Okay. Tough time of year. People are busy.
Well, and also like if you know, for Belvedere, for example, that's three competitive days in a row. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of a little bit of a different thing. But anyway, I was committed. While we're going and talking here, just to let the folks know that are listening, at any moment we're going to have two guests on tonight.
Double, two for the price of one.
Two for the price of one. We've got
double vax guests here.
Well, Brett McKinnon's going to jump. We're kind of staring at the screen waiting for him to come in. He's going to come in live for a quick chat. If you haven't heard of Brett McKinnon, you've obviously been living under an Atlantic Canadian golf rock. Because he's just sweeping up every tournament that he seems to be entering.
And he's going for we'll ask him, but I know he's going for the trifecta this weekend because it's got the Nova Scotia Mid-Am this weekend. So
Right.
PEI doesn't do a Mid-Am, do they?
No. No, they don't.
Ours is in our amateur. So within the amateur, you play and you can play.
Well, yes and no. It's more like a mid-master because
that's
over 40, but the Mid-Am in 25. Nova Scotia is 25 plus.
Okay.
Which is really confusing, but I think they just changed that.
Yeah, I think PEI has the different because of the Atlantic situation, because the Atlantic divisions are different than like the mid-amateur if you went to the Canadian mid-am.
Because the Canadian mid-am is 25 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that a little weird, though?
Hit 25 years old, yeah, mid-amateur?
Yeah. Don't you think it should be a little older? And I'm not saying 40 or whatever, but like... 30?
I think they moved it because of the wave of like the amateur was full of 18, 19, 20 college players, even 16, 17 year olds. And they just felt that when they had the age higher, like at the 40, those 30 to 40 year olds weren't competing with the 17, 18, 19.
Once you kind of, not everyone, but once you get to 25, you're kind of not a professional amateur so much anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
working amateur almost.
Yeah. Like when you're 18 to 24 doing the college thing and whatever, like maybe you're more a professional amateur. Like you're still.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I guess that makes sense.
You're spending your summers playing golf. You might have a part-time job or. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be called a senior in my mid-master, my mid-master division, but I do feel like there is something to be said about being like over 40. There should be some sort of, you know, because you get to 50 at the Canadian seniors, right? So there should be something for the 40s. That's just me.
And you just said you're a little under the weather, Ben. You can tell us about your last couple of days.
Well, I just hoofed it around Cabot there. What a beautiful place. But, yeah, the dogs are barking today.
That's a long walk.
Yeah, it was great, though. You know, like, I enjoyed every step.
Caddies?
Yeah, I had caddy.
Okay.
Shout out to Jeremy from the Pride of Saskatoon. He was a beauty.
Is that right?
Yeah, he looped me around both courses. He did three rounds for me. It was awesome. Great guy, you know. Couldn't ask for a better caddy, to be honest.
So did you guys play 36?
I played 36 on Monday. I played 18 yesterday.
Okay.
Did you play the nine, the power nine?
No, never went to the Nest.
The Nest, no. yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah, I heard that's pretty cool, though.
I was talking to some guys, and they said it was a great time to go over there, but we were action-packed schedule, and when the sun started to set, it was time to get hit the wine and
yeah.
just kick the dogs up, to be honest.
Yeah.
You've played Cabot?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just found, and, you know, all the expectations after the round is, you know, go to the pub and relax and do this. You're exhausted after the golf, depending on the weather. Like, I've played some windy days where you're and didn't have a caddy. So, I mean, like, one or two drinks after the round, and
I
needed to bed.
I walked 36 holes and I stayed up to 3 in the morning.
Okay.
So, well, tell me this, though, Ben. Like, you were there, and I remember that it's not a complaint, more of an observation, yep. but when you're there, there's literally nothing else to do when I was there. Like, there was the pub, but then there was, you know, that's pretty much it.
It's golf, eat, and drink. That's all you do.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm assuming the eating and drinking was basically what kept you up until about 3 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you do any putting on the...
Putting. Did a lot of gambling, watching people putt.
Really?
Oh, that was my favorite part. My buddy Brett and I, we'd be putting $5 down, see if anyone would be getting up and down or not, and a lot of over-unders. It was it was a gambling haven at Cabot.
Which, I mean, that's the best. Were you staying right by one of the greens?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We were right off the first hole at the links. Villa number 2.
Okay. On the left side there, the par 5.
Yeah.
Those villas. Nice.
Great hole, number 1 at the links. So I was there 7 years ago. And
par 5, right?
Yeah. And before.
It used to be flipped.
Yeah. A lot of changes since I was there last time, for the links anyway. Because the cliffs and the Nest didn't exist. But, number 1 used to be the 10th hole, I think, the kind of blind
short,
par 4.
Short
like
par
three,
4, hit it over
340,
hill.
Whatever it is.
Yep.
But, no, it was beautiful. The links, you know, it's the older one of the three. Yeah. But I love the links when you're down, what is it, like 7 or 6 by the harbor there.
Yeah, that's nice.
You feel like you're in a bowl. Yeah. Like, I love that feeling when you look up and, you know, you kind of have that mountain, and it's just beautiful there.
And apparently everyone in PEI is now, any golfer is heading over there.
Big time.
Everybody that we know. Looks like we got Brett's coming right in here. There'll be no there'll be no introductions. We'll be just like, hey, Brett.
What's up?
Brett, there he is. There he is. It is a great pleasure to welcome our first, we'll call it, like, mini guest, you know, like, we don't got him for too long here, but if you haven't, as I mentioned before on the podcast, if you haven't heard of this guy, you've been living under an Atlantic Canadian golf rock, because he is cleaning up all of the amateur tournaments. Everybody's getting sour at him, I think, that's trying to go for a tournament title, but Brett McKinnon joins us from his folks' basement in Glace Bay. Pleasure to have you, buddy, and thanks for joining us here on the Island Green for a few minutes.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Glad to be here.
So I remember I introduced myself to you down in the basement of Fox after.
Yeah, you were cleaning up prizes at the PEIM, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Settle down there. Settle down. No, what I was doing is I was claiming a prize, and then I was trying, because I didn't know anything about what. That was all, never happened before, so I was just kind of all smiles and enjoying it. But you've just kind of continued on the winning streak there. Tell us a little bit about what you've done since then, because we did a lengthy recap of the amateur and PEI, but then you went back home and played in a few more tournaments.
Just one more, actually. I had a great week in PEI, first off. I really haven't played much over there throughout my career, and I wish I did. I played there twice. I played in two CN Futurelinks events. One when I was 12 at Mill River, and one when I was 18 at Eagles Glen, and then at Fox Meadow now too. So no, I really enjoyed it there. We had an awesome weekend. I mean, the weather wasn't exactly July weather, but we made the best of it. I had my parents and my girlfriend with me too, so we had a great weekend. Afterwards, the very next week was our Nova Scotia amateur event. So I took just 2 days to kind of relax at home, and then got back to it on Wednesday and Thursday to prep, and then took on Avon, and that was much of the same. Honestly, I was a little bit rattled, just kind of like, you got to get yourself in the mode, because it was supposed to rain again on Friday, the first day of the event. And I was like, man, I just had 3 days of this, and I had enough of it, you know.
Yeah.
But the first day was just, we had a 20-minute delay to start the round. They pulled us off the golf course on number 11 for about an hour and a half. And then the rest of the day was just one of those days where you got the rain gear on and off, like okay. 6 or 7 times yep. coming yep. in. So it was just like the longest day on the golf course, but you know, it's tough, but we got through it really well. I played well the first day too, and got off to a good start. And then, I had a good round the second round and opened up a big lead, and then cruised home from there. So that was the last of the events. And then, I had last week off. I was actually back over in PEI, with some buddies for a bachelor party.
No
and,
way.
And we're here now. Yeah.
So are you rocking the head cover you won at the PEIM, or is that just
in
the
imagine?
Is that in the shelf for now?
Yeah, that's a new decoration in my apartment. Yeah.
Where did you play on the weekend with the boys?
We played Eagles Glen on Friday. So it's nice to get back there, and played Anderson's Creek on Saturday. Good track as well.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite golf course.
Yeah.
I don't know if... Brett, do you know...
No, I never met Brett before, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't think we've had the pleasure, no.
BK over here actually runs both Green Gables and Anderson Creek, so he's...
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I was really hoping they were going to come on here and bash.
I heard there was a problem group out there on Saturday. But I do remember, well, Brett, when you were over for the CN Future Links at Eagles Glen, I was coaching the PEI junior golf team at that time. So I definitely heard your name, because you did some damage against the rest of the competitors, I do believe.
Right? Yeah, I did win that one as well. Yeah, that was a great event over there.
So like I said, the run that you're on right now, I mean, even to yourself, I'm sure you're kind of not surprised. You probably always believed in yourself, but is there anything that you can sort of just, everything started clicking at the beginning of the year this year, or you just sort of, you know, did you make any changes, or, you know,
So I made quite a few changes, to be honest, not necessarily like golf swing wise or anything like that. I just, I guess it kind of started about a year and a half ago. Didn't play much last year just with COVID and like the slow tournament schedule, but played a lot in 2019. And it's funny, like this kind of kickstarted, and it's kind of weird to say, but I won the Nova Scotia Player of the Year in 2019. Yep. And I didn't have any wins. So I kept getting close, but just never winning anything.
Yep.
So it was like, it was really nice to win the award, obviously. And I'm still very proud of it, but it was just kind of one of those things in my stomach where I was like, oh my God, I got to change some things. I just hate to lose, you know?
It's like the President's Cup trophy. And, or what is it? The President's Cup and in the NHL, you win the regular season, but you don't get the Stanley Cup.
Oh, sorry. I missed you there. I didn't.
Saying it was like the President's Cup at in the NHL. You know, you win the regular season, you end up getting, you know, that prize, but you don't win the Stanley Cup. It's not quite the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. But I mean, I just kind of did some reflecting on that year, and just kind of what I was doing to prepare and what I was doing on and off the golf course. And I actually had a couple of little injuries that I was just kind of, you know, just hoping they'd get better after not doing anything to help them for a little while. And
usually works.
Finally. Yeah, exactly. Just hoping to wake up feeling better one day. Right. But never happens. I started working with a chiropractor in Halifax, Chad Anderson. He plays in some events as well. He's a amateur player, but, so he helped me out with a couple of my neck injuries. So they were a couple of things where I didn't really realize how bad they were until I fixed them. You know, it kind of seemed like I was actually trying to make swing changes around the injuries. And then once they got better, it was just all back to normal again. Once I started working with him, he's actually a personal trainer as well. And like TPI certified, he's super good with biomechanics, and we started training together right away. So I went through a huge performance schedule with him, and we did 10 straight weeks where like I got a full physical assessment done. And he found like a lot of my limitations, whether that's like hips and shoulders, wherever it may be. And we went through a 10 week long mobility phase where I was in the gym 5 days a week for 10 straight weeks and didn't pick up one weight. It sucked. Like just straight mobility. It was absolutely horrible. But I mean, like those first few weeks, it was just painful. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And he was just that guy that told me the whole time. He's like, this is going to be more of a mental grind than anything. And it really was. But afterwards, just felt so much better. And, you know, ever since then, we've been doing like a golf workout program where I started building up some more strength and lost some, like, you know, weight that was just kind of hanging around just from not really eating healthy and treating myself well. And, you know, still that going happens. Through a program to start the year. So, I mean, more than anything, honestly, like didn't change a whole lot golf swing wise or anything, but I just feel so much better on and off the golf course. And I think that's made a huge difference for me, not only physically, but like mentally entering tournaments. You know, I think when I was saying that, when I was reflecting back on 2019, I think that I kept getting myself close in tournaments. And then anytime I had to, you know, hit that fairway or make an up and down or make a putt, whatever it may be, and you really had to trust yourself, I just didn't, you know, it just came down. And it was like, I just knew deep down that I wasn't practicing the right way. I wasn't really treating myself well. I wasn't doing the right things on and off the golf course to be confident enough to, you know, to get these things over the finish line. And that's just really what it came down to. I might not have known that at the time, but looking back, that's definitely what it was. And now going into tournaments, I feel like I'm doing everything I can on and off the golf course to be the healthiest and best prepared that I can be. And I'm practicing the right ways. And now when I'm getting in contention or just in the middle of rounds, I just feel like I'm 100% confident in what I'm doing for the first time in a really long time. And that's just awesome. Really, really nice out there.
What you got coming down the pipeline? Kind of keep feeding off these victories and see how many you can rattle off, or what's the plan?
Yeah. It's funny. I got a bunch of funny messages last weekend. Actually, we had our trip booked to PEI for a while, so I went there. But I usually play in the Role Builders. It's a big tournament in Cape Breton, and that was last weekend. So I got a bunch of funny messages from the boys thanking me for not coming there. Nice. But so I'm still kind of up in the air on the mid this weekend. Unfortunately, it's crazy time for me work wise. I'm hoping we can get some things figured out over the next day so I can get up there and play. But if that doesn't happen, I'm going to stay in Cape Breton, and I'm going to practice at my old home course at Lingan in Sydney. And I'm going to get ready for the Canadian Am. So I'm heading there on the 31st. That's from the 2nd through the 5th. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a different Canadian Am than any other one. And I feel great. I'm still doing the same things to prepare. So nothing's changed there. And then I'm actually going to come back to the island again. It seems like my favorite place to be. I think I'm going to play in the PEI Open on the Mackenzie Tour. So
nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, good. That's unreal. Ties in. We have a guest coming on later, actually, Chris Larson, who's basically the organizer of kind of the Mackenzie Tour events. So
yeah,
we'll talk to him about it. So you obviously grew up in Glace Bay, but now you're based out of Halifax playing out of Ashburn.
That's right.
Must be a good club to be a part of. I mean, you're going against top level competition day in and day out, right? They got a bunch of killers there. So
yeah, it's awesome. The club championship it feels like the Nova Scotia Amateur sometimes. It's funny. There's lots of big names there. I've been living in Halifax for 3 years now. I went to university in Florida in the US, and then I actually took a little bit of time off the game and lived in Toronto for a couple of years. And then when I moved back to Halifax, I always say I moved back to Halifax for a job, and I had a membership at Ashburn long before I had an apartment. So that was a no brainer for me. I love it there, man. It's both courses are awesome. They just redid all the greens at the old course downtown. It's a great little track. It's only a par 67, but it's one of those places where it looks short on a scorecard, but at the end of the day, you play there and you hit every single club in your bag. Wow. And the new course is it's just perfect, man. It's like that championship level golf course that you want to play at. And the practice facility is it's got to be one of the best in Atlantic Canada too. So it's got everything that you'd want as a player, and staff there is great. So no, I really like it there.
Nice. So the mid-AM this weekend, is that 25 plus?
That's 25 plus, yeah.
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure you don't get close to my mid-master. You stay away for, I got 13 years at least or whatever.
Yeah, not yet. No.
Oh, that's great. I
don't want. Where is the Canadian AM this year?
Canadian's in Windsor, Ontario at Ambassadors Club. Never been there or played there, but from looking online, looks pretty nice.
Okay. Anybody else from Nova Scotia like that you know going up with you so you can travel? And
Yeah. There's no team event this year, which is interesting. Kind of sucks. It would have been fun to play for that again, but we have the guys who came second and third in our Nova Scotia Amateur, so Rory White and Mark Chandler, two teenagers, both playing at the collegiate level. So two really good players, and I know they're looking forward to it as well. We've been chatting since the tournament ended. So
you're the chaperone.
Yeah, I guess I'm the old guy now. Eh? Yeah, I'm the only guy that can rent a car. That's for sure. So
I think the mid-AM is the Canadian mid-AM. I think is where in Fort McMurray. I think something like that.
Fort McMurray, and so that's one of the reasons. I mean, I'd love to play this weekend. Honestly, I got my phone blowing up here. I'm just trying to figure out a few things. I'd love to play, but I think the Canadian mid is the same weekend as the PEI Open. So I'm going to play in the PEI Open though. I'm looking to, I played in a Mackenzie Tour event again or before, sorry. But
where at?
I won the Nova Scotia AM back in 2016 and I played in the Nova Scotia Open at Bell Bay.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I felt pretty good about my game then, but I feel a lot better about it now. So I'd like to just see how I stack up, and yeah. I think that'll be fun.
How was that experience, Brett?
The first time around?
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah, I loved it. I mean, it was really cool to do it. Bell Bay is like a second home course to me as well. So I grew up here in Glace Bay, but I used to drive about an hour to go work with Ted Stonehouse.
Yeah.
He was my swing coach growing up at Bell Bay. So I worked with him from when I was 12 through university, still kept in touch on the phone. And I, honest to God, if I ever get in trouble, I just revert back to the same things he told me as well. So he's definitely had a huge influence on me. But it was awesome. I enjoyed it. I think just, at the time I was like 21 coming out of my senior year, and I just had I just put a lot of pressure on myself more than anything. I really wanted to play well there and, you know, just kind of convince myself that I could make it. And I think more than anything, I just kind of almost psyched myself out. Right. I missed the cup by a shot, I think. And, it wasn't long after that, I decided to hang it up for a little bit, but that, that's kind of a blessing in disguise, I guess.
Was there anything in particular when you looked at, when you went to that Mackenzie Tour event, you know, was there anything that you kind of maybe felt like a little bit of a fish out of water, or were you able to just sort of, you know, slide right in there and it was like, you know, playing with anybody else?
I didn't feel like I was a fish out of water, I guess. I mean, I felt like a lot of guys out there were people that I've seen in university before, and a lot of guys that were similar ages or maybe a bit older that are just trying to make it as well. So I didn't feel like a fish out of water. I think I just put way too much pressure on myself to play really well instead of just letting it happen. And I think as soon as like some kind of adversity happened out there, it just, you know, just kind of instead of just riding it out, I kind of just let it affect me a bit. And that's probably just, you know, being a little bit immature. And I mean, I thought I was really good and mature at the time, but when you look back, you just weren't, you know. So, yeah. But that's a learning experience. I mean, I'm glad it happened. I'm glad that, you know, I get to reflect on it and look at it as a positive now. So I feel like things would be different this time around. But I mean, again, I think that's just because I'm going to have a whole different attitude going in there, and it's just going to be a different experience for sure.
Have you played Dundreeh before, Brett?
Never. No, I heard a lot of good things.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Really great track. It's obviously beautiful, but played it earlier in the year, great condition, and should be a good test for you guys for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm hoping to do like the same type of trip and bring my girlfriend and parents there too, and and have a good week out of it for sure. But we'll see how it goes.
Maybe the weather will be a little bit nicer than the last time you decided.
Yeah, hopefully we can wear some shorts and a practice ring or something like that. You know,
listen, buddy,
too far ahead of ourselves. But yeah.
I know that your phone is blowing up, and you got a bunch of stuff going on with work, so we'll let you go. That's the best part about having this nice and short, is that leaves the door open for the next time he comes in.
Exactly.
Maybe a little pre or post McKenzie tour event interview or something. But
exactly.
Anyway, thanks so much for, awesome. for dropping in, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Yeah, and good luck the rest of the year.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
thanks, right.
Brett. Yeah, you can tell Brett's a politician, eh? Or in the politics?
Yes.
I don't know if we talked about that or if that was after we left, but he is a...
Is that because he hates the Lou's?
maybe it all kind of ties in. But actually it was more about it, like how well-spoken is that guy?
Big time.
Holy smokes, man. It was.
Wouldn't even know he's from Cape Breton.
Actually, he doesn't have the accent. I spent a lot of time in Glace Bay. Never got to talk. I think when I met him, I think I talked about it. But you would definitely not know he's a...
He's got
we call it caper.
Quite
caper.
The schedule though, coming up. Like you got Mid-Am and then Canadian Am, McKenzie Tour event. I mean, that's a lot of travel.
Yeah.
Windsor, Ontario, I guess, isn't too far, but I mean, it's far enough.
Do you, speaking of politicians, so I watched this documentary or this movie. It's called Vice. It's about Dick Cheney.
Oh, yeah?
Boys. He's as crooked as a frog's arse.
Oh, nice. Really?
Holy. Like, and it's basically based all on true stuff. But it was like, it was eye-opening. You know, of course, he was, you know, he'd been in there since, God, Nixon type thing. Right up until, well, I think he's out now, but it was an eye-opening little movie or whatever. It just, I don't know.
I don't know much about Dick Cheney or, you know, American politics in general, to be honest.
He was with... George Bush, right?
Yeah.
He was kind of George Bush's right-hand man?
No, it was basically George Bush was his right-hand man.
W. I know that, yeah.
Senior?
W. I love W.
Oh, my God. He went after my daddy.
He was awesome.
Anyway, that's check that out if you get a chance, if you're looking for something. Now that NHL is over, I've been looking for good things to watch, and... That Vice was what that was called.
Speaking of events, should we talk about the Stanhope Open?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know already from our posts and social media, we are so stoked to be basically the title sponsor for the Stanhope Open.
Yeah, a long-running event in PEI, I would say.
One of the longest. Island Open,
I was going to say, but I mean, Stanhope Open fills every year.
Yep.
Great event. Really excited to kind of.
Do we get a discount on the burger platter?
100%.
That'd be better.
I might go out there just for a burger platter.
Man.
Sandra will have the burger platters a-flowing.
Anyway, yeah.
For the Island Green.
That's so cool.
Boy. Sign, yeah. Sign up, boys. Sign up. Everyone get signed up.
I'm telling you, I saw the registration sheet yesterday. The first 20 names on it are from all off-island.
Nice.
We spoke about the lack of sign-ups here before on this podcast. We need you. So don't make that same mistake, ladies and gentlemen out there.
You pros out there.
Yeah. They'll sign up immediately.
Yep.
Get your PEI pass. If you're coming from away, don't leave it to the night before to say, I better go online and get that PEI pass.
It's the coolest thing, man. I don't know. Like, I feel like, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I just feel like this is the start of something awesome. Well, you know, we've got this, you know, title sponsor for this unreal tournament. Yeah, we're going to hopefully get some tournaments after that, that, you know, will be, we'll continue this sort of, you know, trend of doing just basically cool stuff, with golf and, you know, big props to Golf Mania here.
I would say big thanks to our supporters we can go support these events. Right. So, I mean, Golf Mania giving us kind of support to go do these kind of things. So it's awesome.
It's going to be a fun time. I love the Stanhope Open.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. You know, it has the Pro-Am on Friday, two great rounds. There's a great vibe always around the clubhouse before and after the rounds, and I look forward to hanging out there for the weekend.
And we're handing out the trophy on Sunday to someone.
100%.
Basically, what Shannon said to me was, listen, Nick, there's only one way you can get your hands on this trophy on Sunday afternoon. I said, Shannon, listen, I know. I got to work hard. I got to practice my game. And I got to really, you know, hone it in mentally. And he said, no, you got to sponsor the tournament.
Nice.
And give it away to someone else
and
on
give
Sunday.
It to someone. That's the only way I'm touching it, he said. So.
Did you see some of the names? I haven't seen some of the names that are registered from off island. Brian coming over?
Affleck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Two-time defending champ.
Oh, he won last year?
Yeah, two times in a row.
Okay.
That's his second back-to-back.
No way.
The PGA members, they're a little slower getting signed up. But, I mean, like Stewie Musgrave's coming over from Moncton every year. Stewie comes over from nice. Jeff Wood's over from Moncton every year.
Nice.
A couple of Golf NB guys I saw. Yeah, a bunch of names from off-island. And then just this week, I think more people from PEI are going to start something. It'll fill. We'll get to the max, and it's going to be a great weekend. Like you said, the Pro-Am, when you show up on that Friday and everyone's just mingling around the putting green and the range, and you get to see all the people you haven't seen in a while at Stanhope. Like, that's really the Bishop brothers, Dormy.
Todd and
Jeff.
Jeff thanks, yeah. Have something super – where something in store for us for that weekend.
Nice.
So,
I'm looking forward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
– So sign up.
What's the dates, 5th to the 7th?
6, 7, 8.
6, 7, so, 8.
And you're away, Len.
I am away. I know it's the I'm not. It's one of those things, kind of like last week with my wife's 40th, and you know, doing all kinds of different things there. But she's going to see her family for the first time in what, year and a half, something like
at
that.
Least, yeah, I was going to say almost two.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So Christmas of 2019, I think, last time she saw her family. So. Sorry, boys.
We
gotta go.
We hit the links down in Philly.
I typically do. We just heard today. Well, we're trying to figure some things out, honestly, because just heard today that they're extending the closure for whatever recreational travel or whatever till like August 21st down there.
True.
But I mean, she's a citizen and I'm her spouse, so we should be able to get in as sort of essential. I know when people think essential, they're thinking like, you know, food delivery, you know that. But no, it's a family member, like. Sorry, U.S. citizens can get in. To answer your question, though, typically yes. But if we had to fly, I don't know if I would take the sticks.
Right.
But I always do.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going in like for family reasons, though, and you're taking your golf clubs, I just know they're, what are these doing in here? You know,
just drop them off for someone else.
Family picks up at the airport, and you got the golf cleats in your one, two fingers, and the clubs over your bag, and you're just like...
we're closed to recreational. Yeah. Oh no, this I'm selling these down there.
Yeah,
pretty awesome. Canada opened up there on Sunday to the island. That's great news.
Yep.
One step closer.
Everything just seems to getting a little closer.
Big
right?
time.
Like
masks off is huge.
Oh,
huge
in the stores. Oh my gosh.
It I was just over in Nova Scotia, and it was weird. Well, not like. I was used to it, obviously, but it was just like, man, having clean living there for a couple of weeks. And now you're back to mask on.
I know. It's so nice. What about grocery stores? You guys putting the masks on for the going to the grocery store? Next way,
I haven't got groceries in a long time.
I went in to get my shot over at Sobeys in Stratford, and anyway,
they're giving out shots at Sobeys
at the pharmacy there.
Oh, okay,
you just pick one up at the third aisle, and you got your Modernas, you got your Pfizers.
It's right next to the 10 items or less.
Yeah, go to the express checkout.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where we got both of ours done, and pretty slick, actually. We were in and out both times. We'll find
like
masks, everybody was wearing a mask.
My vibe on the mask is if you feel like you want to wear it, and if you don't.
Correct.
Yep.
I feel the exact same way.
And I shouldn't be shunned if you look at me and be like, why isn't he wearing it?
Yeah.
I don't look at anyone and be like, why are you wearing it? Just personal choice.
People need to mind their own business.
And if it was mandatory, I'd wear my mask. And if not, well, I might not.
I love how everyone questions, you know, like Dr. Morrison, though, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, she's a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
Fairly certain she knows what's up.
Do you ever see the video about the alcoholics where it's like when someone doesn't drink and it's like, why? Why don't you drink? And it's like, it's like a viral video or something. And they go, so why don't you drink? Well, whatever. So it's the same with like your mask. Why aren't you wearing your mask? Like, whatever. It is what it is. Like, move on with your life.
I like the post that'll say something like, no, I'm not going to trust, you know, a Rhodes Scholar doctor. I'm going to trust my Facebook friend scientist who knows, like, basically.
Yeah, big time. Speaking of frustrating things, so last week I was out in, I was doing some drone photography at Avondale. So I'm out there and they treat me well out there. Connor's a great guy. He's just like, would you mind getting a couple more, you know, can we do some photos and blah, blah, blah. He told me which holes to sort of concentrate on. So I get out there and get the bird up, you know, taking some shots or whatever. I jump over to in between hole 18 and hole 17, standing around there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get some reverse shots from the green out from hole 17. Anyway, so I'm looking at my screen, and all of a sudden I'm bringing up the drone. I move it, maneuver a little bit, and then all of a sudden the screen starts going completely wacky, like it's crashed. Right? I'm like, what the hell? You know, like it's got obstacle avoidance, or at least it's supposed to. Mm. Anyway, and then it just stops. And like, I know it's in a tree. And now I'm like, where the hell is this thing? So I don't know where it is because I wasn't like looking directly at it. It was just kind of, it's not far. So I'm looking now at my screen, which is still showing the camera pointed down, and it won't move. So I find it from the ground. I look up and here it is. It is at least 50 feet up at the top of the tallest tree behind 17 at Avondale. And I'm looking at it and I had this exasperated look on my face like, the fuck am I supposed to do now? Like, what? Like there's no emergency, you know, get out of a tree button or anything. And I'm kind of freaking out a little bit. Anyway, I'd like to think I'm a calm individual and I don't get too stressed out over things, and I don't typically. But anyway, I go back up to the clubhouse and they get the maintenance guy. I don't remember his name. And he gets over there and he brings like a 10-foot PVC pipe over. And I look at him like, that ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, this is 50 feet up.
You
like,
got four more of those you can connect to it?
Way up, 50 or 60 feet up. Exactly. Anyway, so we decide that he's going to get a tractor with a bucket, and we're going to, because the tree's only probably about like, you know, 10, 12 inches. I was trying to shake it from the bed. It was too sturdy for that, but tractor, no problem. So he brings it over and he starts like puts the bucket into the tree, and this thing is now swaying like big time. And the drone moved down a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is going to work. Anyway, all right, guys. I said, let's do it again. You know, like, you know, it moved a little bit. Let's go. So then he's in there and he's moving it. Now it's like zing, bing, it's going. Sure enough, drone comes flying out of the tree. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. It lands smack dab on the covering of the wheel for the tractor.
No.
Yeah. And busts. Like, oh. Completely broken. Anyway, both legs. So now I got it in my hand. The legs are just kind of dropped like this. There's wires that are, I'm like,
bogey.
Guess the shoot is over. So I take it back. Now, the good news is these things are meant to be broken. Like, drones are, you know, generally speaking, not to that extent, but they're, you know, you get replacement, I don't know what the hell you call them.
Propellers.
Yeah, you get all those. Anyway, I'm waiting for the quote to get it fixed. But
nice.
Yeah, that was a shitty.
So now the golf course, would they get you to do those shots and then they would like upload them to their website, or if they want to do a little marketing video for their course? Okay.
Typically I'm doing like a lot of the like photos, but I'll, they'll use them for social media. They'll use them for all kinds of different things. But I mean, you know, if you get the right one, you know, I've got a couple that are kind of been used by all kinds of, you know, Golf PEI and all this kind of stuff. There's a couple of nice ones that I've taken, but anyway, yeah, it's, but I love doing it. It's awesome. I mean, I love golf and I love, you know, making pictures. So it's pretty cool.
Any, so you're playing in that, Eagles Glen event this week.
Yeah.
How many, oh yeah, we, I think you asked about how many registered. So is it just basically straight tee times, go out, play, turn your scorecard in and take off, or is it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And I think we discussed this before, but like the point system, it's 500 points because obviously it's a one-day event. But I think the reason that they're doing this event coming up Friday and next Friday at Dunderave, these one day, is because the Harvest Moon tournament turned into a two-man scramble event. And that used to be worth points, I think. It used to be, you know, whatever. So
they're making up for the lost points from the Harvest Moon a couple of single days.
Okay. Interesting part about it, though, is that like the sort of like the Atlantic teams and all that, they pretty much finish up after the amateur.
Yeah, so it's a fresh start this week.
Yeah, so it kind of carries over to next year.
Yep.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Yep. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, just this is its first time doing that.
So the points are reset now.
Yeah, so player of the year is done.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think that. I don't know if that's true.
Really? Well, why wouldn't they do that?
I think it's because of, for the Atlantics and the other thing, like that starts now. We're an uneducated.
Listen, no, but it frustrates me to no end. Like, why can't it just be one thing? Why does it have to be 10 things?
It's a great question.
Like, it's sometimes question. It's 25 for mid amateurs. Sometimes it's 40. Sometimes it's, you know, you're senior when you're 50. Sometimes it's 55. Like, what is it? Just make up their minds and let's roll with it.
I'm easy either way, but just, make up your mind.
Man.
I think we just got word that our buddy Chris Larson has arrived. So
perfect.
Let's bring him in here and let's not waste his time. So without further ado, Mr. Chris Larson coming in.
All right, we're back, and our second guest of the day. So, as we mentioned before, we have the PEI Open and the Brudenell River Classic coming to PEI later this fall, summer. And the man behind the events is here today to talk to us about them, Mr. Chris Larson. Chris, thanks for coming on.
You know what, guys? It's a real pleasure to be here. It's great to be back on the island now that we seem to be coming out of the recent mess that we're all in.
I know, it's so nice not to have masks here right now.
Oh, huge.
Talking through a mask or anything else. Well done, PEI.
So obviously, you know, listeners would, there's quite a few that would know you, Chris. You've been around the game for a number of years. You know, a man known for running, you know, some superb events in our region. And it's great to chat with you for sure.
Well, you know what? You know, like everybody else, we've been through a very difficult year and a half. Particularly when you're in the events business. I mean, we virtually, like anybody who's in that space, travel, hospitality, hotels, everybody's in the same bucket. We've been basically shut down for a year and a half. And, you know, we had to survive, and we survived, and we're at a new start line, and we're excited because we can start delivering events again.
Yeah.
And the first one out of the chute is this Mackenzie Tour, you know, a doubleheader, really, which is an extra bonus to have two championships back-to-back here on the island.
And beautiful facilities, so I think it'll be a great way to showcase our island golf, and looking forward to having some of the best golfers in our country come play.
Well, you know what, I think you know, both of those golf courses stand on their own credit. You guys would know that. But when the PGA people, including Scott Pritchard, who's been on your show previously, says this will be the Dunderave will be the toughest golf course they play, period.
Yeah.
And they'll have to use every club in their bag. You don't need to say a whole lot more.
Yeah.
That describes Dunderave. It's a monster golf course, and it's going to challenge them for sure.
So how did it all kind of come about? Were you involved in any of the previous events that you know, came to PEI or other areas in Atlantic Canada? Or
when it comes to the Mackenzie Tour, we did the event in 2019 in Halifax, which was at Oakfield out by the airport.
Yep.
Of course, and then we started to think about PEI, given the golf pedigree and the quality of the infrastructure here. And so we started talking about maybe doing it in PEI in 2020. That obviously didn't get out of the starting blocks. And so we just reloaded and aimed for 2021. It is intended to be, and going forward it will be, a June event, a last week of June event to help kick off the golf season.
Yeah.
But again, for all the obvious reasons, we had to keep pushing it back this year in the calendar, and here we are. We're going to be able to deliver it the last week of the first one the last week of August, and the second one rolls into the first week of September.
And what made the decision to do the back-to-back weeks? Typically, you go to one spot for an event, and then, you know, everybody packs up and moves on to the next event.
And what made us so lucky to get two?
Yeah, we
yeah,
got two.
You know what? It's and it is, and I think, unfortunately, it might only be a one-time thing, but... You know, the honest answer, guys, it's all to do with COVID. The Mackenzie Tour is typically a 12, 13, 14 stop event. You guys would know that. This year it's an 8 stop event tour because. And they had 7. They had 7 lined up, including the Prince Edward Island Open, and needed to get to 8. And when they looked at it, they start in Montreal. They go to Toronto. They come to PEI. And why not stay? Why not stay? As Ernie Banks would say, play two, right? You got world-class golf courses right next to one another, accommodation support from rods between them. The tour then takes a week off, and they do 4 events out west. So it just made sense to do 2 in PEI, right?
Yeah.
The boys are going to get a break, too. Like, going 72 holes at Dundrave, and then 54 at Brudenell's going to feel like a... It's going to be like a shootout, right? Because Brudenell typically plays a little shorter, lots of par fives.
Yep.
Yeah. So... The boys are in for a treat to whoever comes.
Well, one of the things that we saw in 2019, and absolutely no disrespect to Oakfield, it's a great track. Gordy Smith did great work there rebuilding it when he was running it. But it's shorter. It's shorter than, way shorter than Dundrave. Yeah. And one of the things we saw with the caliber of these guys was, you know, it was driver wedge all, you know, all
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
And here it won't be that, right? It's going to test them.
Yeah. No, it will not.
What?
No, it will not.
Like, no.
There's a few driver wedges, but not many.
Not many, yeah.
So with SEA and the events coming here, who are you typically working with on a day-to-day basis? So you said you're in PEI 2 days a week now up until the tournament time.
Yeah, just to, you know, help any way we can with the people that we have on the ground here. You know, we have a partnership with the PGA and with Scott Pritchard, as I mentioned before, and then we've entered into a partnership, obviously, to bring the events here. Again, this is meant to be a long-term venture. This is not where we play in next year. This is meant to be at Dundrave for a long time. And so we want to dig some deep roots, so we're investing this year. And we've got three island guys that are helping us locally. And then, of course, the team out at Dundrave and Brudenell under the leadership of Ryan Garrett, I mean, it just doesn't get any better in terms of, we don't have to coach them on how to run a tournament.
No.
So we're you know, there's some logistics around, you know, suppliers that we need and some sponsorship, and we have a pro-am event that we're selling through on. So we've got a fellow by the name of Mike Craig here in Charlottetown who's helping us on the sales side, and two other fellows helping us operationally and logistically, and working closely with Ryan and Chris Huggin. And Bruce Donaldson, names that are pretty well known in the community as well, are helping us.
Yeah. So when Scott, you know, calls you up, says you were going to be doing this event, what is the first thing that you guys end up kind of doing? You know, like, is it all right? Let's, you know, contact. Like, I'm sure the venue's already been in the loop, but are there people that you contact to run all of this stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the sort of how does it start?
You know, yeah, it's a great question because it's a little different for us. We're a Halifax-based enterprise, you know, over 15 years under that label in Halifax. But, you know, you don't remote control a project of this size and the complexity of a professional golf event, never mind two. Mm. So we needed to make sure we had some strong resources that were representing us, the fellas I just mentioned, and then and I'm going to throw a bouquet out here because out that way, the Dundrave and Brudenell way, there's a gentleman by the name of Brian Harding who actually lives, I believe, in Montague. And he's retired. He moved from Edmonton when he sold his business in Edmonton. He has 12 years of experience of delivering Mackenzie Tour events. So he kind of chairs our.
You gotta help.
Okay.
He chairs our volunteer.
That's a win.
Next question.
I'm learning a ton from him.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. The guy knows how, you know, what Ryan Garrett obviously knows his golf course and how to set the course up and do all of that. And then we got this fellow with a boatload of experience to help us organize all the volunteers, take care of all that detail. Right. Honestly, we'd be lost without somebody like that.
So how would one person go about if we have listeners that want to volunteer for those 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Is there contact? And
there is. That's a great question, Nick. And the volunteer recruitment is underway, and the call-outs have been done, and it's going very well. But there is a link on the website, peiopen.ca. And it, wide open there, there's a link. Please, if you have interest in volunteering, please go there, see what the positions are available. See the schedules that are available, and if that's your cup of tea, we'd love to have you. There is a fee to be a volunteer, but we return it in spades. It's a $40 fee, and you can do that when you register. But you know, with the apparel package and the food and beverage package that we're going to provide, it's, you know, the value's back, and I think we'll be in a very good state and shape with volunteers.
PI loves to help out.
Yeah, great volunteer base here. There's no question.
So at the end of 2 weeks, Chris, like, what kind of goes on for a successful couple weeks? Like, what do you kind of have envisioned for a good couple weeks of golf?
Well, one of the pieces that's unique, and there's two parts to that, guys, and so I'll kind of break them up. First week, there is a pro-am event, and second week, there isn't, because right. It's a condensed week. Mm-hmm. So there's this very unique opportunity on the Tuesday. The championship plays Wednesday, Thursday. The championship play ends on Saturday, so the pro-am's on the Tuesday. And that's a very unique opportunity to play with a professional golfer. I don't have to mention that to you guys. But, you know, we've done, and Ben, you've been part of it in the past, we've done a number of celebrity golf tournaments that have hockey celebrities, and that's a really cool experience. But to play with a professional golfer, if you're a golf enthusiast, that's, you know, that's like playing inside the ropes.
Yeah.
Right? It's the real thing. And when I saw it firsthand, not that I was playing.
So you're saying it's not like playing with Dave Ling, watching him slap it around?
Linger might have better stories.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
He can still get it around, too. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
Linger, yeah.
When we delivered the event in 2019 in Halifax, as I mentioned, on pro-am days, teams coming off the course, and these aren't recreational hackers, so to speak. These are guys that play golf three, four, five times a week, and they're blown away with the experience they've just had with a Mackenzie Tour golf pro. So that's such a unique experience. So that's one part. That's what we're doing this year. But and it'll take a moment, if you don't mind, to describe what the original format is and what we'll go back to next year in 2022. So last week of June in 2022, the event name will actually change. It'll go back to what it was intended to be, and it will be called the Prince Edward Island Pro-Am. We're calling it the Prince Edward Island Open this year because it doesn't have this in it. And the this is the Thursday, Friday next year will be the Pebble Beach format. No different than you see in California. There's only phenomenal. Two championships in North America that will feature that Pebble Beach format. Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
And the Prince Edward Island Pro-Am.
Amazing.
Yeah, so you get to play inside the ropes. You know, I'm the golfer, you're the pro today, and we switch tomorrow, right? Boom,
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
And obviously the pros need to keep their score.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, from an amateur standpoint, you are inside the ropes. You've got a caddy, you've got a nameplate, you've got a guy walking behind you with your name.
Nice.
It's the same experience as the pros for 2 days. And it's a little tournament inside itself because there's prizing for the amateurs.
I'm just thinking,
that's unreal.
I'm thinking who's going to be the Bill Murray of of this.
Yeah. There's probably a few candidates.
Yeah, I believe that.
So it's a really, and that's what we were trying to deliver last year, couldn't. And this year, with all the complications of COVID, we said, you know what, let's not bother. That's pushing the envelope too far. Let's deliver it the way we've got it designed, and we'll come back to the original model in 2022.
That should
be a pretty cool experience.
That's unbelievable. Really cool. That actually, my mind's just kind of racing right now thinking about that. That's really cool.
I know. That is so cool because that is one of the coolest events, you know, on the PGA Tour, right? It's seeing all the celebrities walking around, and some of them can hit it so good.
I know.
You know, which is so really kind of cool. Play. So, yeah.
That'll be exciting.
It will be, yeah. And it gives, you know, there's lots of golf enthusiasts, obviously, and really good players in Prince Edward Island around the Maritimes. So it'll give... It'll give Golf PI an opportunity to market this to the high-end golf enthusiasts from away who will want to come and play in that format because that's the only place you can do it other than Pebble Beach, and he can't get into Pebble Beach, right?
Big time.
Do you have an idea of how the teams get formed? You know, like, and I don't know how the AT&T Pro-Am works, but you know, like when you have a celebrity or somebody sign up, do they?
Is it random draw for who they get paired with?
Yeah, pretty much, right? Yeah.
Okay.
If there's a, you know, if there's somebody that's a really good golfer and has expressed an interest in playing with Bill Smith, then yeah, you might get Bill Smith,
like,
right?
But like Gretzky gets DJ, just, you know, it is what it is.
But have you guys signed up like long, like maybe this isn't a question you can really answer, but like as far as, you know, obviously this 2022 is in the works. Is there like a 5-year plan or is it?
Yeah, great question because it started with 2020. It just didn't happen. Or 21, which didn't happen. So yes, the first agreement is a 3-year agreement. So missed first year. This is second year. Yep. We'll do third year next year. And then, but the intention is to, between now and then, to extend and continue to be here.
Because when we talked with Scott, that was something he said, that we kind of asked him what the process was with, you know, getting a venue in that, and he said you want to build roots in the community, and that kind of shapes an event. Like we talked about the time Colness Open that's been, you know, on the schedule for years and years and years, and I think that's what he mentioned. You'd like to find somewhere that can, you know, start a tradition.
Yeah,
and PI is so much about community.
Yeah, right?
And if the when the tour event starts to demonstrate that they are also about community, you know, the pro-am's intended to have a charity component in it. That's very important to the Mackenzie Tour, that every tour stop has a financial means of leaving good behind. It'll be modest this year because we've got a long vision on it, right? And you know, while we know we have to deliver an event in 6 weeks, we also know that if we build the foundation well, notwithstanding all the issues this year, that's like building a house. You put down a really strong foundation, you can build a good house. So we're trying to build the basement this year. So
nice. Mm-hmm.
I've seen the list you just gave us there with all the entries so far into both events, but you mentioned there some kind of maybe breaking news that, I guess when we talked to Scott, he mentioned the Form A Tour was created because of COVID, really, and it was going to give the chance for the American players to play a tour, and then the Canadian players are going to play the kind of the Mackenzie Tour.
Right.
But you mentioned earlier that the Form A Tour players are now going to be able to enter the Mackenzie Tour events.
Yeah, so in the border announcement, what, 2 days ago, I guess, right, that opened it up, literally opened it up for people off, players off that tour. So we're gonna have a full field. We expected to have a full field anyway, but it's probably, the field's probably going to be elevated a bit because of the quality of those players coming in.
Sweet.
Sponsors exemptions. Now, how do I go about applying for one of those?
Keep asking easy questions. Yeah.
And like you mentioned, just switch gears a little bit, Chris. You know, being in events for a long time, you mentioned earlier the Maritime NHLers for Kids. Mm-hmm. Obviously disappointing with what's gone on in the world to had to postpone, but you know, there's a lot of people in our community that have been involved and played in it and look forward to it on a yearly basis. But that's one of the premier golf events in our region. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, that event now has 20 years. Its roots are 20 years deep, but it's very unique. And Ben, as you know, it moves every year between the three maritime provinces, which makes it very unique. And then the fact that the celebrities who come from the hockey world are principally all Maritimers, too. So we're celebrating our own with the retired, the current, and the future stars that are able to earn a living from professional hockey. And that doesn't mean they're NHLers. The scouts, the managers, the referees, yes, and the players, right? All are part of that. But Ben, you hosted it 1 year, maybe 7-8 years ago.
Remember that rain?
The rain was terrible.
Oh, man.
It's the only year we've never been able to bring the caddies
exactly
out on the golf course.
Yeah, that was...
So we offer this very unique opportunity that integrates minor hockey right into it, where three peewee or bantam age, and I think they're called you something these days. Yeah. I still call them peewee.
Yeah. No judgment on this side of the table.
Yeah. Boys and girls are invited to come to the golf course that day and be caddies. Well, they're not really caddies, right? But they get to hang out with these corporate teams and their hockey heroes and go through the golf course. And of course, by the time about the sixth or seventh hole is underway, they're driving the golf course. The guys playing the money are walking, and the kids are hitting putts and driving. And it's this unbelievable experience for young boys and girls who have hockey dreams, right? And yeah, we raise a bunch of money, and yeah, we leave a bunch of hockey gear behind. But that experience for those kids is what it's all about, right? So it's very unique, very different.
I remember being a kid myself, actually. This would have been, in the early 2000s. And I think it might have been at Glasgow Hills back one year.
Yeah,
but anyway, I was lucky enough to be one of the caddies. And yeah. I think I still have the stick in my basement with all the players.
All the Sherwood sticks we gave out. Yeah, had all the players on it.
Unbelievable. But it was a great experience. And, you know, even now, like being involved with an event like that, to see the kids, like, have the time of their life.
It's crazy.
And the guys, you know, they all have a good time too, and they get to connect and socialize too. So
well, and I'll throw the appropriate bouquet here as well too. This has been the vision and the passion of Rick Bowness, who, if you're a hockey fan, you know Rick. He's the head coach of the Dallas Stars, but Rick is also holds the NHL record for most games coached in the regular season. That's an unbelievable stat.
Big time.
It's like 2,600 games. He passed Scotty Bowman, not in wins, just coached games 2 years ago, right? And this is a passion Rick had 22 years ago, and he brought a bunch of us together, and he pitched the idea, and it had to have the kids at the golf course. Yeah. It had to integrate kids into it. But he also had one other rule, or else, as he said, I'm not willing to put my name on it. And so you're talking 22 years ago, different time. And he said, there's absolutely no alcohol going to be allowed on the golf course on golf day because we got minor hockey kids with us. And we all thought that was going to be a problem. And it turned out to be our biggest asset. The corporate community gets it now. Mm-hmm. It's all about the kids. It's not about having a beer. We'll have a beer after, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't spend 4 or 5 hours without a beer in your hand on a golf course because you got kids with you. Then don't come, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's got that very unique flavor. It's obviously not a McKenzie Tour type event. It's a fundraising event. Mm-hmm. Right? And over those 20 years, we've been able to put over 5,000 kids on the ice in the Maritimes. So that's why you do it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to being back here next year. We've had to postpone twice. We're Crowbush 19th and 20th of July next year.
Nice.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a really cool event.
It is a cool event.
Crowbush, too.
Ooh, cool. Maybe.
Yeah.
Now you're talking my language.
Well, Chris, like I said, I appreciate you stopping by. And, you know, for all of you, the listeners out there, like I said, there is still opportunities for Pro-Am teams if you are interested.
Yeah, same thing. Go to the website. All the information's there.
PEIopen.ca.
Yeah, PEIopen.ca. Thank you.
If you want to play in it, there's still spots, so you can sign up.
Yeah, no kidding. The Pro-Am experience will be very, very unique. And, you know, to have these golf professionals here in Prince Edward Island literally for 10 days, playing those two great golf courses, you know, that's a memory they're going to carry with them for a long time. There's no question.
We will definitely be talking a lot about it as it gets closer. Cool. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We'll be putting wagers on if the course records will be broken and all the rest of it.
I'll come back every Wednesday if you want.
Yeah. we'll be putting wagers on the Low Islander here. We got a bunch of guys from local players who have signed up.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to.
It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you very much, guys. It's great to see to meet you two fellas, and been good to see you again. It's been a while.
100%. It's always great, Chris. You're one of the best in the biz, so we look forward to talking.
All right.
It's great. A real pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, that was Chris Larson, president of one of the coolest companies. I could have talked to him for hours.
I could have his voice was really.
Oh, I know.
Soothing.
I wish I had a recording of his voice last night when I was trying to sleep after getting my second dose.
Chris is a busy man and unbelievable at what he does. Like, incredible.
He organized the 2003 World Juniors in Halifax. That was, like, come on.
That was a tournament.
I mean, God.
The 2-2 train.
Yeah, the 2-2 train.
He was coming out party.
Marc-Andre Fleury, Carlo Colaiacovo, but they end up losing to the Russians.
Yeah.
Didn't the Russians come back on that one? Wasn't it like they were up and then they lost and the final? I can't remember.
Crazy crowd. Like he was telling us before the tournament, even had a full burn already lined up.
Like, yeah. Imagine going to a presentation to put a bid in to win for an event and be like, yeah, we sold 10,000 tickets.
That's a flex. That's a flex move right there.
And the committee goes, oh no, but this is just the bidding part. And he's like, yeah, no, we just told them we were going to bid and they we sold 10,000 tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we thought we'd just kind of go ahead and poll all the business community, and they all decided to buy tickets. So the rink is full if you want to come, you know.
Yes, please.
Holy smokes. Well, I didn't get to chance. I wanted to ask him about sort of organizing, well, like major, you know, because I'm really fascinated with that stuff because, you know, you go into some of these like PGA Tour events, go to the waste management, stuff like that. Like they're hurting 250,000 people. I'm just like, to me, it's so cool to see it when it's done properly. And what did he say? They're playing for some big cash, $100,000.
Yeah, PGA
that's just
Open.
The first week.
Yeah.
$75,000 the second week because it's a shortened event.
So if I got the cap down and took down the title, would I have to?
You wouldn't get any money.
No, I'm registered as an amateur.
You
so
get,
I
get a Volke or Callaway wedge, and two dozen Chrome Soft.
7 day triple tracks. No, you get a 7 day all inclusive between the three courses.
Between the three courses, yeah. I know. By the way, if anybody out there is looking for something, I've been trying to peddle them. Anyway, no disrespect. Obviously, those are my three favorite courses, but I'll never use them. So we got a couple passes.
It's going to be an awesome event. Really
caddies are allowed.
Caddies are allowed. So if you're looking to volunteer and you want to be a caddy and you think you have what it takes,
yeah,
I'm sure some of the players won't be able to bring their caddies out east. So,
yeah, that'd be so cool. And talk about next year, with the AT&T Pro-Am type format. Like they are really building something, and it's really, really cool. And I don't know, golf is back booming. It's phenomenal.
But I think what Chris said too, right? It's about the people around him, the team he puts in place. Like he's not here every week, right? So the people that he has kind of running the event up until it happens, volunteers, like that's what's really going to make it a great event.
All right. Oh, I did want to make a little note here, and obviously last week do you guys do picks last week?
We did. Yep.
Oh yeah, no, because I got the call there, and I picked John Rahm. Not a bad pick, but didn't get it done.
Good, yeah, good finish though.
But I wanted to just kind of throw a shout out to the company Cordial Picnics. Did you see that picture that I put online?
Cordial Picnics?
It's called Cordial Picnics. You know, raspberry cordial and whatever.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cordial Picnics. Anyway, I found out about this young.
I thought it was like a fancy picnic.
No. What? A fancy what?
Picnic.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, exactly. You didn't see the picture either?
So, on the beach?
Yeah.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I just wanted to throw, like, this is completely whatever, but she basically put together, like, this whole fancy picnic thing. I did nothing but, send me the bill type thing,
nice.
For my wife's 40th. But Bernadette had no idea what was going on, and we show up to Brackley Beach. We got married in secret there back in 2003, special spot. We're going down the boardwalk, and I say, you see that white frilly umbrella over there? She's like, what's that? Anyway, we went down, and she thought we were going to the dunes, and then I drove right by the dunes, and she's like, oh, well, I don't know where we're going now, because I was trying to surprise her. Anyway, we sat there. We had it for 2 hours, and there was, like, desserts, and there was a charcuterie board and, like, fancy water, and we just, like, everything was so nicely set up. Anyway, if you're out there and you're looking for a gift idea or a special surprise or whatever, they do them from like 2 to 20 people. But anyway, I just, when you're kind of blown away by something and you just kind of want to give a little promo, it's called Cordial Picnic.
And
Natalie Haddad was the one that
probably something that most people wouldn't think about that you could do. Right.
I was so proud of myself because she was, I was doing a headshot for her, and I asked her what her business was, and she told me. And anyway, and of course, then the old hamster starts going, and I'm like, this
Squeaky.
Would be perfect. Anyway, Bernadette loved it. She was so pleased. So,
and you didn't have to do any of the legwork.
Which is the best.
Imagine having to go around and collect all that stuff.
But you know how stressed out I was over the 40th birthday stuff? Just because she put together like a really nice party for me. And the 40th is a big number.
Yeah.
And anyway, I pulled her off and I survived the week, but it was pretty stressful.
And now you're back to golfing.
Golfing, buddy. Golfing. Absolutely.
I don't want to see a golf course for like a long time.
2 days.
No, really?
Oh, man,
I can't wait to get
nothing.
Back.
I'm beat
back
down
out.
To nothing.
Yeah. Big.
I'm playing this weekend in my first tournament of the year.
What tournament's this weekend?
Oh, yeah, you're going over
the
with Brad.
Callaway Team Championships over at Abercrombie, a PGA event, two-man team event.
So who's your partner?
Brian Affleck.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. Not a bad partner. I see him. He's registered for the two events, or one event at least.
Both, yeah.
No, both of them, I think.
Yep. So, yeah, we head over to Abercrombie this weekend for that event. I didn't think my first trip off.
If you win, do you put your name on that list?
Not a chance.
Okay, fair enough.
I didn't think my first trip off PEI was going to be able to still see PEI wherever I was hanging out, but I'm in Pictou, literally the closest place you could possibly go. I'm going to Port Elgin for the weekend. Like.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd take it. Yeah. Get off the mud ball for a little bit.
All right. Picks?
Yeah, let's go into our picks. I don't even know what...
The 3M Open.
Oh, for God's sake. It's such a letdown the week after any of these majors.
What'd you think of the major?
I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah, loved it. 3M Open, though, if you recall, was it 2 years ago when... Bryson, Morikawa, and Wolf had that battle on the back nine.
Mm-hmm.
That was insane golf.
Wolf eagled the last.
So did Bryson.
To get into the playoff with them.
No, it wasn't a playoff, I don't think.
He eagled the last to win.
Yeah, Wolf and Morikawa were in the final group. Bryson was in the group behind, or ahead. He stuffed it in there, made eagle. Then the next group, Wolf and Morikawa. Wolf hit it to just off the green, probably 25, 30 feet. Morikawa stuffed it in there to 20 feet. Wolf runs it in hot, banks it in off the backboard for eagle. And Morikawa just lipped out his eagle putt to tie. So it was a great finish, and Wolf got his first career win.
I remember that, and I remember thinking to myself, it's funny that you brought it up. I couldn't remember the tournament, but after Morikawa won, I remember watching that live, and I was watching Morikawa because he had just been dealt, like, not a blow, but like, because they are buddies, and I remember the way that he handled it. I just thought, that kid knows that he's got a huge and bright future. Yeah. And here it is, he's won what, three, four times already.
What's crazy about golf and golf in recent times is you kind of get, you know, it was Spieth and Thomas, you know, Ricky, like, you had that kind of core, and then you went Wolf and, you know, Hovland, and everyone talked about Morikawa kind of, and Schauffele, they kind of went about their business, and Morikawa kind of slid under the radar for the first couple seasons.
Yep, I'd agree with
that. But now he's the top dog.
Yeah, big like, time. Good kid, too, like, just well-spoken, and...
That swing.
Did you see he was walking through the airport with the claret jug case?
Proper thing.
Just flu commercial. Yeah. No big deal.
I don't think he got quite as banged up as Lowry did 2 years ago.
No.
A little different party.
Well, don't you remember when Hideki won the Masters and he was at the airport there and the green jacket was just swamped over the chair beside him, and he was on the cell phone probably responding to some messages he got, and just the green jacket's just sitting beside him.
I know. I love that stuff. Makes them more human. Do you guys, by the way, does anybody here still call it the British Open?
Open Championship.
Open Championship.
Okay.
The only thing I didn't like about the tournament is Colin McRae had a great second round. He shot 64. And, I mean, the commentators said it 100 times. They didn't say it 500 times. But Grillo shot 64, too. And they, like, you didn't even know. They didn't replay any of his shots. They didn't do anything like this.
We're used to that. We're Canadians.
I know, but I mean, he shot the same score.
Did
and
you see
going
the tweet that I threw out there from
yes,
the Allen
yes,
Green
yes,
putt?
Yes, yes,
yeah, 700 replays of Jordan Spieth's eagle putt going in. Not one replay of Corey Connors pouring it in right behind him. It's tied for the same score.
And I totally feel the same way. The only thing, like, my rebuttal maybe is it's about marketing.
I know.
Like,
I know.
It's just how it is.
But they're like, basically... 100%.
And let's face it, Corey Connors is a like
boring.
Unbelievable, but he's boring as hell.
Yeah. Big time.
Right? Like, he doesn't talk, he doesn't have facial expressions, he doesn't, you know, go crazy.
But his swing is fun to watch.
Yeah.
He my God.
Nails the irons.
But I mean,
it's like Freddie Couples, it's just so smooth.
The media
tempo.
Can just, like, this whole ranking, you know, your media ranking gets you money and stuff. Like, the media can just dictate who that goes to. I mean, like, if you just pump somebody up, people are just going to start to follow it. But I just didn't, like I said, same thing with Corey Connors or any
what
Canadian.
Was your guys' thoughts on the DeChambeau driver incident this week?
that was
pretty wild.
I do have thoughts on this.
Let's hear.
And I thought to myself about, you know, obviously it's kind of like you know, cake in the face or whatever. But now every golfer knows that Bryson's driver is a Cobra. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that before. You know, I don't follow Bryson that much or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now, like, people, I would think there were people out there that are thinking, oh, Christ, I didn't know Cobra was making these deep drivers like this, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously he's using a 5 degree and he's a maniac and all the rest of it. But I actually think that it could have bumped their sales. Even, I know he said, the driver's crap.
No, my driver sucks.
My driver sucks.
My driver sucks right now.
But I do feel like, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but Cobra stuff is generally a little bit more budget friendly than your TaylorMades and your Titleists. I could be wrong. I don't know for sure. But I don't know. I felt like, not that it was anywhere near what they were thinking or wanted to have, but I thought that might not be the worst.
I don't remember in the history of golf anyone ever saying that their sponsored driver sucks.
Like, it's unbelievable.
Never.
It's like, unbelievable.
But wouldn't
you have thought that they would have dropped him on the spot? That's why I was thinking too much money for them to drop him. Because I was thinking, well, you know what? This might help them. It's more publicity.
I don't know if they could drop him. Like, any other company would pick him up. I know they might say, oh, he's a pain in the butt and he wants to tinker. But I mean,
it's kind of the same as when you look at, you don't want to be a company that, you know, if you make a mistake, you're gonzo either. Like, you want to have some loyalty there. Like, everyone makes mistakes. Right. Bryson made a mistake.
Makes a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, that was a big mistake.
He's a ding dong.
Totally. But, like, I don't know if it was worth dropping them. You know what I mean? Like, maybe down the road they don't renew a contract or something, but to drop on the spot.
If it hurt their sales, I think you drop them.
How do you know it hurt the sales yet?
Correct. Though? That's what
it's going to take time for that to sort out. But
yeah, I know. Yeah. But, you know, like, if put this on another, you know, foot, if Tiger Woods with Nike came out and said, yeah, the driver is just, it's just not a good driver. Mm-hmm. That would have hurt Nike's driver sales immensely. Mm-hmm. Would they have dropped him? Probably not.
No.
In golf. But there are certain people that I think they probably be like, screw you, bud. I don't know. Not Tiger. That's a bad example.
I think Bryson's high enough that they wouldn't drop him.
If he keeps bashing his own.
So, I mean, when you go with TaylorMade, they have a stable of players, Callaway stable players. Cobra, like, after Bryson, who's next?
I didn't even know Bryson was Cobra until this whole fiasco.
So it's Ricky and Lexi Thompson and a couple other players. I mean, he's their stable.
As much as I like Ricky, that's not exactly the most glaring endorsement of Cobra golf.
But Ricky Fowler is one of the top marketable players
true.
In the world.
That's right.
My wife's favorite.
So it's not. Sometimes it's not always about the score.
Score, yeah.
But like, just back to the point, I enjoyed Brooks's rebuttal as well in the
that was good. I still think Brooks is living rent free in Brooks' head because you don't hear Bryson going on about Brooks that much anymore. But every time Brooks is going off about, of course, more stuff's happened to Bryson, but
100%.
Yeah. Caddy drops him and
oh man.
It's but you know, golf needs stories and it was a good story.
I completely agree. So I think, did I tell you guys about Ricky being my wife's favorite or whatever? We're down at the Waste Management and we got to see Ricky, like, you know, tee off and stuff. Yeah. She comes up and she's standing right next to me and she's just like, I'm standing next to her and she's like, don't stand so close to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? Anyway, she nudges me and then she unbuttons the top button of her golf shirt.
There you go. There you go.
I think she was kidding, but I'm not 100% sure.
Nice.
Yeah, you never know. Caught Ricky's attention.
It was a good event, though. I enjoyed the Open Championship, and it was fun.
Sunday afternoon was fantastic golf to watch. Man.
Spieth, man, making the comeback.
Making that huge comeback, missing those two putts, bogeys, 17 and 18, cost him the Open Championship.
And then Rahm with another charge on the back nine.
Got a feel for Louis.
Rahm birdies 13, 14, 15, 16.
I don't really care about Louis.
No?
He's just, you know, he's.
I like Louis a lot.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, he's hilarious.
I just kept waiting for Morikawa to not mess up bad, but I mean, make a bogey and let Spieth back in a little bit, but he was just so steady.
Can we all agree that Morikawa got pretty lucky there as well on a number of different shots? I don't know if you guys watched it from like start to finish, but early on, I found that some of the drives could have very easily gone into the crap, but did not.
Has anyone ever not won Open Championship without getting a little lucky.
Oh, no, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely. But it was, I found at the beginning, it seemed like, oh, that one's got to sit down.
Yeah.
And it does, yeah. You know, yeah. Or it just seemed like every shot that he was making off the tee, there was a couple of those. But no, absolutely.
I still want Spieth to win.
Oh, me too. More? So great to have him back, though.
Like, yeah, it is.
Can you imagine? Awesome. It's great for golf. Yeah.
All right. 3M Open. That was long.
That was
a long preamble.
We didn't do a recap on the British. We got to make sure we touch on it.
That's true.
All right, 3M Open.
Brett McKinnon, I'm taking. he's on a heater.
He is on a heater. That's money in the bank. I am going to take a fella I never really heard of, unfortunately, but he really got on my radar because he did very well at the British Open. I'm taking Robert McIntyre.
Okay.
I'm taking Tony Finau.
That's a good, that's a pretty good.
I think I'm going to go with Fratelli.
I had him in my British Open pool, and he climbed me the leaderboard for a while there. He played real well.
I'm going Fratelli.
I didn't know he was South African.
Geez, South Africans were all over the leaderboard, Canadians and South Africans.
So, boys, who did you pick in the British?
Took Hovland.
Made the cut. Hovland. Okay. I'm just going to write this down here.
I took Mr. Lee Westwood.
Oh, I don't think he did not make the cut, did he?
Yeah, he made the cut.
Oh, did he?
Yep. I remember because on Sunday, I think he played real early.
Well, I took one of the John first Rahm.
Ooh.
And I know
there were some big money payouts in the Open Championship.
We'll have to get back to it next week. We'll recap, and I'll tally these up because I haven't tallied the last 3 weeks. But John Rahm's going to help me out. Maybe I can break the 1 million mark when you guys are over 3 million.
Hovland was T12.
Shit.
Westwood was T53. T59.
And Rombo was what, third?
T3.
Okay.
Westwood got a week's play at St. Andrews. Any of the courses he wants.
Unlimited golf. Unlimited golf. Circuit.
Open Championship Circus.
Love it.
And a Cobra driver.
Boys, is there anything... Well, is there anything else you want to bring up here before we sign off for the week?
That was a packed episode, man. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that was a good episode, and thank you so much for Brett for coming on, and for Chris obviously for coming on as well. It was great meeting him. To our sponsors, as always, we are recording now in our Golf Mania studio.
I wish you could see the sign behind me.
It's also our studio. Soon to be, we're actually right in the simulator spot, which is going to be money as soon as it's all up and running. And those picks that we just had are brought to you by CoolBet. Use code GREEN100, and it will double your initial deposit. And I think that's it, boys.
See you next week.
Have a great week.
Sign up for the Stand Up Open.
Talk yes.
Boom.